And we're bringing you Witch Rising again. This was with Lori Barbaros Blackman. And let me go ahead and let me offer a little bit of background. I've known Lori for years. Really got to know her at the 2015 Parliament of World's Religions, where she was the rookie of the year. She worked really, really super hard. She learned a lot about it. And she's been involved ever since at some of the deepest levels of being a volunteer and leading groups to the Parliament of World's Religions. And as a strong person, she's currently the first elder of the Karelian Nativist Church. And let's go on with one other thing. She is a person that has learned how to survive in a man's world long before she was a priestess, and all of these other things that she's learned to deal with has made her the personality she is, of go-getter and absolutely starting things. She is, as like all the other women, have faced issues having to deal with income and learning and living. But let's introduce my fabulous friend, Lori Blackman.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you.
And we've been hearing from women and everything else. And the first thing I ever learned about you was that you were a contractor. You worked in an office. And we talked about
I worked in the field, actually.
Okay. And what does that
which
mean?
Which was even harder. I started in the office. So I was I started out as a junior project manager on construction sites. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I was so hated because I was a woman. I didn't belong there, even though I was smarter than most of the people doing the work. I physically myself wasn't doing the work, mm-hmm. but I was organizing it, managing it, directing it. And they hated it for years. It's a struggle. It's a true struggle to work in a man's, was a man's world back then, because you're talking 30 years ago,
right?
25, 30 years ago. Salary, no comparison.
Right.
No comparison whatsoever. I started at the bottom of the barrel. Mm-hmm. It was my mom's best friend's company, so he was like an uncle, but it didn't give me any special privileges except for, hey, you really like this, you can do it. Go ahead, see if you could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of dealing with being called names, and you have to build a thick skin when you know you're going to work with 60 men on a construction site.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to change their life because a woman walked on the job. So while it was disgusting to hear some of the things coming out of their mouths, I had to deal with it. If I wanted to succeed in this, I had to build up a tolerance and a thick enough skin to get just as down and dirty as them.
And you had a mouth on you by the time it was done.
Oh, I had, yeah.
And that was
I sure did.
So in order for you to survive in that world, you had to adapt male traits.
Correct.
And
yes.
That sort of thing is, you had to remind them, yeah, maybe something, but you had to learn to be more aggressive. And I think that's
right.
Part of it, because we were mentioning some of the problems that you don't have. You see it. I mean, as first elder, as
right.
first elder, you see women who are struggling.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you don't really have that as much in your life. Can you, I think those two
sure.
things are coming there. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. So if I go back 30 years ago, I had that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Once I learned how to deal with it and how to combat it and think like the man,
mm-hmm.
I never really had it after that. I continued to go on to jobs that were male predominant jobs,
mm-hmm.
pump and tank, you know, like how many women are in the oil business, working on gas stations and stuff. So I didn't have, and there was resistance, but I wasn't degraded to the point where I see many women today still being or treated how I was 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You would figure 30 years later, there would have been much more progress than there actually is today. And I do see it. Although I personally myself am not dealing with it, it is there.
And now leading part of the tradition and things that you do, Can you a little bit? I want to talk a little bit about your experiences at the Parliament, because I think it was a very there was a very distinction about how women were treated, and not how you were treated, but how the
Right.
behavior towards women. They were talking about it from more. You were there as the press secretary for the Crown tradition, a tradition which you worked so hard with. And we got them on the top stage,
Yeah.
and we were involved with
Yeah.
all the rituals. You were a part of that. You were our ambassador to the parliament. And I think in part you were able to work. There were a lot of other women involved. You were working on the other side with women. There was a mutual respect of each other in the workings of the parliament
Right.
and getting classes and everything. But when I was on the floor, there was a lot of, I felt, aggression against women and getting those sort of rights.
So going from 2015 till this last parliament in Chicago of 2023, I think the most resistance, and I was shocked, was in Utah with, I guess I'm going to say the Christian men, Hindu and Indian men. Even though they're there for the religious purpose of everybody getting together, that doesn't separate out male female aspect of their cultural differences of how they treat their woman.
Because I think that was a big backlash to the 2015, which was basically led by Phyllis Grotton in a lot of ways,
Right.
which is a Wiccan, a terrific member of our community that we're
Yes.
so proud of. I felt that one was very earth oriented and was very women affirming, and I felt Utah was like, well, let's put them back in their place.
Right. And that's what it felt like toward the end of it. The speeches were beautiful. You know, Phil, of course, Phyllis always, you know, I named her my Wiccan Wonder Woman after that parliament. So she's my WWW. But just because we were there and we were on stage, it doesn't mean it changed how people think, treat people, and how they feel. They're listening to it. They're applauding her on stage, but 2 seconds later, we're still walking 5 steps behind them. I've never walked 5 steps behind anybody, not after 30 years ago. So that wasn't sitting well with me. And
So
that's
you're
never going to sit well with me.
so in interfaith, that's something that you're dealing with because you've expanded, we've talked about it within the tradition, but you're quite the ambassador and worker of interfaith. You're an interfaith person, independent, I think, a part of and independent of the tradition. You do this because you want to be involved with that type of work. Am I correct in
Yep,
this estimate
you
that?
are correct.
Can you talk about
Yes.
the interfaith you work? Because like Phyllis Carot, like Starhawk out in the West, there's a lot, and others, but especially like Phyllis Grotton. I was trying to think of other people, like Twyla York is like one of the great people who've come out. I mean,
She's
she's amazing.
fantastic. She came far. Yep.
You guys were like, you've been there. I think that all of you became really kind of on the women's side of the interfaith side. Can you talk to me about that? I mean, that aspect, not just for what we would say witch rising, but on that other side of that fence.
So if we're referring back to Parliament in, you know, in general, especially all the women together, I think that we really didn't have much with the men. If you think about the Parliament, it was always the woman doing woman things, and we're protesting and we're speaking up, but it's the woman for woman. One thing that I was missing out of this parliament with the Women's Village was there were supposed to be a lot of workshops for men and women to co get together and talk and discuss that. And I didn't, it wasn't there for me. I don't think that they presented it enough, or more people should have joined in. You know what I'm saying? Like there wasn't enough participation to really get any commonality out of it.
And there it is. And so I think one of the other pieces of work is you've got a lot of interviews. We got tons of interviews, but you're always trying to have women, young ladies, and men too, but just trying to come out and talk. You're always working on that aspect. Can you talk about the need for everyone, especially women this year, to speak out, to be part of it. And how would they just go ahead and be there? Because you're a genuinely, you're what they call a citizen journalist.
You got to get out of your shell. If you're afraid to speak up for yourself, you're doing yourself no justice. That's a main issue for me when I hear people like in chat rooms or something, let's say, oh, I wish I could do this, I wish I can do that. You most certainly can. You most certainly can. You just have to believe that you can. If you're a magical being and you think that you can do, you know you can do all these other things, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to put that thought in your head that you can do this. And it may not be perfect the first time, but you keep doing it. You have to get out there. You have to make sure that you're taking the effort to speak up. Because if nobody speaks up, nothing's going to change. We're going to go into 2320, and it's going to still be the same issues. Women are still going to be making $20,000 to $40,000 less than the man. We're still going to be walking behind them. Other countries, women are still going to be treated like dogs and slaves unless you have the courage. And that's what it's about. It's just having the confidence in yourself and the courage to get up and try it. It doesn't have to be a 2 hour thing, a 1 hour thing, a few minutes here and there. Speak up, speak out, pick one project that you're passionate about in women's needs and go with that. You can't do everything at once. So pick one thing and go forward.
Absolutely. I can understand that. So let me go ahead and let's go ahead into our last subject. I think is important. And that is, I want to talk to you about your life as a religious woman. You are a religious leader, probably in the global 100 top Wiccan leaders in the world. I know people are surprised, but you are on a global level. You work on a global level every day. And one of the things I think that you're dealing with, and as people know, the Karelian tradition has passed hands, as you know, under Lord Don and Lady Crystal. It has moved on. Even myself, because we all know why I moved up. We've talked about that. So the tradition doesn't get blamed. And this is the woman who would actually have to deal with all my statements that I'm going to make. Yes. So in order to protect the 501c3 and to allow me to be far more political, because Pagan World TV is not a religious organization.
Correct.
It is a media organization that just happens to be pagan. There's a difference, folks.
Yes.
You can't, we don't take tax deductible donations. You're allowed to give them to us. No, you're not. We'll have to do that sort of thing. But in all honesty, you're in charge of a large 501c3 that has multiple churches involved, more than 100. Multiple countries who also have individuals in Britain and in South Africa and the Philippines and a few other spaces, having both ad hoc churches or churches under your own thing, as well as that. And you have to deal. So from the outside, you guys look like this. You guys have made a sort of a global look. I mean, it is pretty rainbow-ish for the Jesse Jackson shows. My daughter told me I shouldn't say things like that, but she said you sound so out of place, but
I don't want to laugh so loud right now.
Why not?
I can hear your daughter saying that. Don't say that.
Yeah. But there is this sort of, you have a lot of diversity and you have a lot of authority. And Wicca is traditionally a women's religion. Can you talk about that? Because we're not talking about a little thing. You're talking about 5,000 clergy, over 200 temples. You're talking about almost 300,000 members in your school.
Yep. We are at 297.7.
Yeah.
Yay. So I think for Wicca, especially, it's easier for a woman because it's feminine based. It's goddess religion. So I think that we automatically have more women than men for that reason. Or men years ago were afraid to admit that they worship a goddess. Because then everything else maybe was wrong that they were doing. Dealing with other religions as a woman, as a Wiccan woman, is sometimes rough. You know, I hear a lot of great stories about people going to UU and having being very welcoming. Those you use have women. I'm not that lucky. Our UU doesn't have a woman. So I've not been welcomed into that circle as much as the Christian women or other dominations of Christian women. That's a little a slap in the face, but I respect it. That's their decision. That's something that we fight with every day. That's what the parliament's for, everybody being included. And hopefully one day we will get there. I think for the most part, especially if I can say for our tradition, even though it was goddess based, it was run or led primarily by Reverend Don being a man. So maybe people don't see it so much as a goddess base because a man was running it. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fair question, right? Because you
Right.
did.
But it's a goddess based religion. It's feminine in spirituality, and it's a task.
I bet it is. And that is something it is. So, any last thoughts? Anything else you want to share with our audience? I mean, I do think the thicker skin you built in early part of it did help you with the male side of that.
So, if my uncle didn't throw me literally to the wolves on a construction site, I probably would not be as bold, outspoken, overzealous, and I'll say it sometimes pompous as I am.
There you go.
Confident beyond confidence. So, it's hard for me to. Now it's hard for me to say, well, I don't feel comfortable or I'm not confident in doing something because I am. But it would be very different if younger I wasn't thrown into that to begin with. That side of the family was very big on if you can do the job, it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, but get out there and do it. So I'm grateful for that. If you want me to touch on something else, I know we're not talking about the word witch, but the other W word
Please.
is the witch. It's, for me, that was the one thing missing from Parliament was the representation of the witch.
Which and Byron Ballard
Just.
mentioned that before in other shows.
Yep.
So
And that was my main thing for this parliament. I thought it would be much more inclusive, that we would be more welcome, being that it was Chicago, and there is a beautiful pagan presence there. Wasn't there. It was so disappointing for that. It just wasn't there.
And
They were they're afraid to use the word witch.
you put a lot of seats, your butts in seats for this parliament.
Yeah.
We were,
Yes.
yeah, you half the pagan congregation, depending
We
on
had
what
over
numbers you,
70 tickets.
yeah, I mean, and if you
Yeah.
looked at the number of pagans, you were like from third to half, depending on how they wanted to do it. I mean,
Right.
you made the largest pagan Wiccan group there as a group as serving. And you would think that would have earned something. And it did get us on the main table.
So that was amazing. We got on the main stage, our first priest and our first priest retired, and one of our archpriests from South
South
Africa,
Africa, Rain
they were
Packery.
on the stage with Lady Rains of Packery. That's right. They were on stage with all the global leaders of the world that were there.
And along with Phil Scott.
Yep.
And so that was powerful. And we also saw Laura Gonzalez get on there and give the first speech, both
Yes.
as a witch, as an indigenous person, but also as a witch.
But what did she go on as a witch or as an indigenous person?
She
Because
ended
there's
up,
a
I really think, I
difference.
think in small conversations, she was a witch. She didn't shy away from it. But no, she was there as an indigenous person who happened
Right.
to, that happened to be a witch. I believe so. But still, she didn't hide it either. So, but
Right.
you're right. It did not come out of it. And so you, So do you think that maybe that sounds like a big issue? I mean, that's something that for a certain amount of equality.
Twyla York actually gave me an idea or a suggestion to go forward with for the next parliament, and that was to get more people to understand what a witch actually is. And that doesn't mean a pagan or a Wiccan or anybody other domination that falls under the pagan umbrella. It's just a witch because anybody can be a witch. You have
What
every
about,
domination has a
we'll take a
witch.
booth that says this is witches. It's not a bad
Right.
idea. There's a long that's another interesting argument and coming up into the year. I think we're going to see a lot of different things happen this year. I think you're going to be at the center of them. You're going to be doing press. You're going to do everything else. People want to meet you. You can come out to the Karelian legislation, May 15th to the 17th. I understand that you're going to have a big part in that. Oh yeah, it's going to be, if you
Yeah,
really
that's gonna
want
be
to see,
cool.
let me go ahead and tell you folks, if you don't go to that event, it's going to be spectacular. It's going to be such an unusually spectacular event, but we'll talk more about that in episodes coming
Yes.
up. But
Awesome.
we've
I'm
been
looking forward
talking,
to that.
so we've been talking to the Right Reverend Lori Blackman, and she continues on, Karelian Se press secretary, interfaith priestess of her own rights, and oh wait, she also does aromatherapy, folks. Check her out.
Yes, I
You
do.
yes, you do. So check her out, Lori. How can they reach you?
They can reach me at revlori@karelian.com.
There you go. How simple. All right, folks, and
Can't
so
get
the
any simpler.
no,
But just
and
one last message to women out there.
oh sure.
Don't be afraid. Stand up for yourself a little bit more, even if it's just a little bit each day. If you do a little bit every day by the end of the week, that's seven little bits. And those seven little bits add up to one larger bit. And you go on the next month, you have four larger bits and another four larger bits. And before you know it, your voice is being heard.
And you're a fine example of that as
Thank
you
you.
continue to grow your voice. All right, folks, tomorrow night we'll be back with Mary Hawk, Witch Rising, little kind of the face of leadership. She's going to be talking about the Dominionists and other things we're facing. And then on Sunday we're going to have, I hope, the prediction show. So there you go, folks. Next couple of days. Thank you, Lori. Thank you everybody for listening
Thank you, Ed.
and thank you for making me one of the making the Pagan World Radio by this show one of the fastest growing shows out there. You can set us on Spotify, Apple, and continue to subscribe because I don't know, it just makes me feel better. So love you guys all. Bye.